art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community.
On today's episode of Artivism Now, we welcome Dr. April B., artivist, writer, photographer, social worker, and founder of Raw Honey Platform. All right, we are here with Dr. April B. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much again for having me.
Absolutely. And first off, you are located in Texas. So, all prayers and blessings go out to you and the family. How are you holding up right about now with all the everything with the electricity and the water issues going on?
As a social worker at heart, I think what hit me the most is just the deeper issue as to why this has happened and has hurt a lot of us in that way. And so just...
yeah.
I don't like to say like a negative situation has charged me to something positive, but it has charged me to think about local and state decisions and like how we can influence them. You know, I think a lot of people have been saying, well, the presidency is not the only vote, you know, think about other votes. And I think this really showcased that. So I'm excited to see how much more involved people will become because of this situation.
Yeah, that's as much silver lining as you can probably find, right, mm-hmm. in the situation. But I'm glad you're able to join us tonight, and we could talk about your amazing platform that you have. First off, as an artist, you are, at least initially, and we'll get more into the breadth of what you bring with the platform, but initially, as an artist, your main medium is photography, right? So maybe... talk to us about when you picked up the camera, what types of photography you prefer, and kind of what that means to you in general.
So I don't even know how I first fell in love with photography. You know, my first love, honestly, is writing, and so that's always been like my muse. But I stopped writing at a time just because it was scary to be so transparent and honest. With the pen or pencil. So I was like, photography, that's more arbitrary. It's easier to kind of make your own perception on photography. I feel like, you know, they say like a picture is worth 1,000 words. I think like a picture has 1,000 thoughts. And so I also just love capturing moments. I've lost a lot of people in my life, just a lot of prominent people in my life. And pictures, just seeing that moment, like you smell it, you feel it, you hear it. It does something to us that brings us back to that moment, which I think writing does as well. But something about seeing that picture. And so what I didn't recognize is while it also does that, photography also ignites something within ourselves, especially when we take pictures of ourselves or see pictures of other people that remind us of our experiences. And so I just love, again, this platform is about artivism because I studied a lot of artivism when I was younger. My dad took Chicano studies because he was in college when I was not like in college, like college age. He was like going back to college at age 50 something. Nice. And so I was exposed to artivism movements at a very young age. And I just thought it was so awesome of like seeing the depiction of struggle from someone else and being like, oh my gosh, like that's my struggle. Like that just perfectly said what I'm trying to say, but I can't put it in words. Love using photography to capture our stories that sometimes we just can't say with our mouths. And for us to like, one, look at our own photo and see like, yes, that's my story. But also to look at each other's and say, wow, I connect with them in a way that I did not know I would connect.
Yeah, it's so profound, the stillness of portrait photography and of your subjects and even honestly yourself on your platform as well. You just have a way to, like you said, capture moments. Now, also from the writing of yours that I've read, I know you don't need to hear it from me, but I would love to read more.
Thank you.
And I could imagine when you're coming at it with full force, what it could be like, how powerful it could be. So I'm looking forward to that when it starts coming out again. And talking about photography, you have this amazing exhibit up on the website, and we'll talk about the website a little bit more off in the program, a little bit further out. It's rawhoneypf.com. Mm-hmm. This platform has everything. At least everything that I could see that one would need in a platform, especially as an artivist like yourself. So photography speaking, the Breathe Initiative, walk us through what the Breathe Initiative is and what your intention behind it was.
So growing up, my mom had multiple sclerosis. She was completely disabled until she passed away when I was 14. So I was raised by my dad, and my dad had very unique background. I don't even want to say it's unique because it's pretty common, but an interesting background of being on drugs and alcohol, being incarcerated in and out of prison, up until he met my mom. My mom like changed his life, the romantic love story. And while my dad turned his life around, you know, graduated summa cum laude, while taking care of a disabled wife, while taking care of a little kid, while navigating his own traumas, the world still saw him as they wanted to see him. Especially being a big buff black man, he literally looked like Mr. T. So like, just imagine like this big guy that no one really saw him as that soft teddy bear. And no one wanted to understand his experiences, you know, why he made the decisions he made and things like that. And so I saw that just a lot of my guy friends around me that were black men. And I was just like, I used to perpetuate it because that's all I was taught. But two, I was just like, why don't we give black men a space to tell their stories? You know, why don't we allow them to have a story? And so why don't we allow black men to breathe? And it kind of got stemmed from right after the George Floyd incident, of course, and like, I can't breathe, and, you know, breathing things of like metaphorically and literally of like, black men don't allow themselves to breathe. Our culture sometimes don't allow black men to breathe. Society doesn't. And so I wanted to use this photography exhibit to ask black men to give me one word to describe their experience, and then to use this abstract positioning and this dichotomous lighting to depict like kind of the tension that black men feel with this one word. And some of the words are really beautiful words. Some of the words are very sensitive words, like naive. And some of them are very tough words. You know, they're all, it was so cool because I never had someone say the same word ever. It just shows how diverse, dynamic, innovative a black man is. And I definitely hope to expand it way further. I literally just started it like in August, just picked up the camera and started doing it. And it ended up in a showcase in December and ended up in an art gallery. And so I was excited that there are people who are excited, again, ignited by art, to hear other people's stories that they may fully connect with or may not even resonate with at all.
It's fantastic. It's, I mean, of course, like most art, at least meaningful, intentional art, it's, you know, born out of trauma, you know, and collective trauma from the summer that was the time of the George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and countless other murders of Black men. Such beauty and just like you said, there's an individual just tone to each photograph, and again, these are on rawhoneypf.com. You just click on the tab that says Breathe Black Men Initiative. You know, it's something that we often hear perpetuated in media, right? In terms of the encapsulation of the Black community as being this kind of monolithic group that is, you know, just is always going to do the same thing, always going to vote the same way, always going to think the same way. And so what you're doing is, at least it, from my observation, my interpretation, is kind of shattering that whole stereotype, like, hey, you know, there's individual stories here, there's individual traumas along with the collective traumas that are out there. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And that's what I, you know, just the Raw Honey platform as a whole, but just everything I do, I want people to understand that we all have our individual experiences. And there are definitely places where they overlap, but there are definitely tons of places where they're their own special thing. And that's what makes us all literally special and literally unique, is we all have our own story.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what the Breathe Initiative does, and also there's an audio recording, right? It sounds like a kind of like a spoken word piece as well. Is there a way that you could describe that? I could play a clip when the show goes out.
Really just had the men. Like, so before I take the picture, I kind of go through this process, again, just my social work background of like, I don't want to just take your picture. Like, I want you to feel comfortable with me. You know, you have your shirt off, you're literally giving your body and soul to the world. And so I have this conversation with them of like, tell me about this word. Tell me what this word means to you. Tell me what this looks like. And they just kind of get expressive in that way, you know, that became poetic and everything, but really they're just telling their story. I kind of got the idea from, I can never think of the name of the museum, and I hate that, but the Equal Justice Initiative, the museum that they put in Alabama.
Yeah,
it's so incredible. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I went there, you know, you can push the button and hear the stories of like the people there. And I was just like, this is so profound. I feel like I know them. And I actually use those audios at the showcase where people would scan a QR and listen to their stories as they look at their picture. And I think that just brings it to life, you know?
Yeah. It's, you started off talking about it too, like, capturing the moment. And it seems that that's a theme that kind of runs through a lot of your work, that documentation of the moment. Maybe it's the photography medium in itself kind of informing it, but it seems like something that you might be drawn to as an artist, you know, not leaving the moments, not letting the moments pass. You know, it's a profound way to look at your subjects. And I love your process too, by preparing your subjects that way I should call them artists as well, right?
Right.
You know, they're preparing your artists, you know, for the shoot, and hearing from their feedback. As a theater person, you know, I always have to have that kind of same eye level. Like I need to be able to look at an actor and know where they're at, talk mm-hmm. to them about where they're at, and then where we're going as, you know, a collection of artists. And that seems like what you were able to do with this initiative, and it's fantastic. And all different types of lighting angles and filters, and you have black and white on there as well. So very versatile. I love it. Again, that's the Breathe Initiative on rawhoneypf.com. So go ahead and check that out when you have a chance. We'll definitely put a link to the website in the description of the podcast. And so the Breathe Initiative being one of the main highlighted aspects from your art form on the Raw Honey platform. Let's turn to Raw Honey now in general, because like literally I feel like, you know, Dr. April B, I just want to read. Like, I feel like I want to just read every page on the Raw Honey platform to the audience and just beam it into their minds that they need to hear every one of these words. it's just so well defined and intentional, and it's a great example of how to encompass a platform based on, you know, your own personal experiences, as well as your high level of education as well, and just like. So let's jump off to Raw Honey. Raw Honey is a platform. Speak on it if you can for a little while. What is the main intention for Raw Honey, and what is your purpose? Because you talk about purpose a lot in there and helping other people find their purpose. So what exactly is the intention of Raw Honey?
Really for people to find their raw honey. And so, you know, it's a metaphor of there are systemic practices and intergenerational trauma and even cultural practices mm-hmm. that have taught us these certain things and societal narratives, internalized capitalism, all these things that just says, this is how you have to do it. This is why you have to do it. And this is how it should be done. And then it's those things that you stop and say, wait, why are we doing this? And you're like, I don't know. We say this in like, I say this metaphorically, but I see this like in the Black community. They always say like, you see one Black person running, like you start running. And you're like, why are you running? And we're like, I don't know, but I'm just gonna keep running, you know? And it's kind of that mentality of like, we pass down these practices and behaviors to do, and we don't know how to liberate from them because we're not really taught how to, or what life would look like if we liberated from them. Fear has been used in those ways. Lack of trust has been used in those ways. And so it keeps us kind of bound down to this ideology and this box that we put ourselves in. And so what I want Raw Honey is to do is to teach us not only to break out of the box. Like of course, we always want to break out the box, but even more, no one wants to break out the box and get hit by a car, right? You know, so figuring out how do I build that resiliency of, you know, okay, this circle of people may not understand what it is that I'm doing. How do I get to a place where I'm not offended by that, but just recognize that they're in a different space. They have their own journey and I have my own journey, and how to find the people who align, or find the job, or find the relationship, or find the passion that aligns with who I am and where I belong versus trying to fit in somewhere. And allowing yourself permission to be authentic, allowing yourself permission to endeavor on the journey of finding your true self. And that doesn't even mean you have to be full of purpose and cure cancer, but it just means every single day you are more of yourself than yesterday. And it's down to the very intricate core part of, am I aligned with who I'm supposed to be? And if not, how do I get even closer each and every day and validate and celebrate that journey? That's really what it's about.
Yeah. Just listening to that right there, you know, it could cause one to just like jump up off the couch and just be like, I'm doing something, you know, like.
And that's what I want people to feel. You know, I want people to feel like everything you're doing is something. Like I remember back when I was in grad school, I mean, people see doctor now, but I almost didn't make it. I was going through a pretty deep depression and I didn't go to class for like weeks. And one day my therapist was like, go to class. I don't care how you look. I don't care if you stink. I don't care if your hair's not done. Just show up and see how that feels. So I showed up and my best friend took me out to Cheesecake Factory because I went to class. And it, you know, you don't have to do that every time because you'd be broke, but it's just that intentionality of celebrating making it. And of course we're like, no, why would we piddle paddle over that? Well, because it's hard when you're dealing with, again, internalized capitalism, intergenerational trauma, societal narratives, all of these pressures that we're dealing with. It is very hard to wake up and do the things that we decide to do every day. So let's applaud it. Let's not stop there, but let's applaud that we're doing it.
Yeah, what comes out to me when you're speaking on it like that, and then also reading, is you have this general belief, and just kind of known fact to yourself that there is something better for each person. There is something more to each person. We all have it. We all are inherently good, which is nowadays, you know, like, I mean, there's people who think the opposite, you know, in our own country, our own society, that human beings might not be inherently good, you know, and I think it's so refreshing, even though it's a conversation that seems to have been around, you know, since the advent of, you know, Jesus Christ and modern religions, that human beings are inherently good. And that's what it seems like. That's the perspective you come from. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think we were born, I think no one was born racist. I don't think anyone was born sexist. I don't think anyone was born to be mean. I think some influence just kind of sweeps in and teaches you these new things. And of course, like, and when I say that, I do give homage to, again, like physiological and somatic things. You know, there are things that are passed down to us biologically, but even then the starting of that was inherently good, you know, and then something else seeped into that and kind of like bleeds through, like spilling wine on this white couch. You know, this couch was still originally white.
Yeah. Yeah, and the point that you make, just kind of in general about the there's it seems like what the point that you're making. I don't know if I want to wax philosophical here for a second, but it does seem that you feel that there could possibly be better inside of the person as opposed to outside of the person. Like almost the external is what infects the core of the person. Because you're right, there are collective societal and intergenerational traumas that any one of us, you know, didn't decide on, yet we still feel the effects of. So speak on that. I mean, the effect that external trauma has on people's lives, especially people from the Black community's lives, intergenerational trauma, and what you see in the work you do every day.
I think what's like interesting about it is it's never, I don't want to say it's never, because there are some pretty bad things, but it's not usually the thing outside of us. It's how we perceive the thing. Mm. So I've been through a lot of things in my life. I've been through blatant forward racism. I've seen death. I've been through assault, like everything. And not to say that people who aren't able to think like I think are thinking wrong, because again, it's hard. It's hard to get to that space. But I think the place that we get hung up is how we perceive everything around us. You know, if I get rejected for a job, I've now learned, and it took me 28 years to learn, it wasn't that I'm not worthy enough. It's that job just wasn't meant for me. That if I took that job, I would not be where I am right now. I would not be able to do the things that I'm doing right now. So I'm actually glad that I didn't, even though in that moment it felt really sucky, you know? And so that friend that stopped being my friend, or the person that broke up with me, it feels sad in that moment. And I feel unworthy. And then I'm like, that was just what, that was just what was meant to be in that time, versus I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. I'm a bad person. I need to fix myself. Now, there are times where we need to edit ourselves. I think there's always opportunity for us to grow. I think it's always a yes and. I'm a big yes and person of like, yes, there are things that I can improve on. And I need to evaluate the environment around me and see if that was even conducive for who I am.
I love the yes and. Like, it's, you know, nobody has the answer or the advice more than any other person. I think that that's the best part about the yes and, because the opposite is yes but, right? Yeah. And the yes but kind of a person is the person who might think they have a little bit more of an answer than someone else. And so I love that you do that. That's big in the theater world too.
I know.
And love it. Yeah. It's a great way to communicate in an artist space, as well as an activist space, you know, without cutting off or even, you know, halting someone's creativity or development. So I love that that's a part of what influences you and that you utilize it. So Raw Honey, again, pf.com. It's literally where everything is. Like, you need to get to this website and read. And now on the about page is where the vision and mission come through. I just want to read a little bit of it, because like I said, I want to read, I wish I could just read this word for word for everybody. They can go and read it for themselves as well. But man, the extended metaphor that you have going on, I'll just go off from the second paragraph of the Raw Vision on the about page. We know that it takes a long process for working bees to develop honey, so it is important to transfer that understanding when reaching your honey. It will be a process and it requires work, but how sweet will it be once you reach the goal? And you read that and you're just like, hey, maybe I could do that one thing I was thinking I couldn't do, you know? And it's just the simple intentionality of the words and the extended metaphor. So, and then the honey aspect is all about process, right? Because the bees, it's not just something they just crank out, you know, like it takes a whole process to make all that happen. So, you know, if you can like speak on that honey process from within, maybe from your own perspective, or maybe from some of the stories that you've witnessed in your work.
I think, as everyone says, we kind of live in a generation of instant gratification. If we don't see it happening or see it about to happen, it's not happening in a lot of our eyes. And I think we've just even been taught that over generations, you know, of things that investments and, you know, things that take time and the time to heal. It takes a while. You know, I say to my friends all the time, I'm committed to the fact that it may take a lifetime for me to heal from my traumas. And I am fully okay with that. Because every day, I see it as a gift that every day I get to learn something new about myself. Like every single day, there's this new present that's on my doorstep, and it's a new part of April that I didn't get to have before. And the more that I see it like that, the more exhilarating it is. And so I want people to feel comfortable that instead of saying, dang, I'm never going to get this right, of saying, dang, I'm getting it more right every day. You know, and switching that perspective, And again, the internalized capitalism is the big part to like tear away from, and I still struggle with it. Of you get evaluations, you know, there's this Likert scale and you did 1 to 5 and you have the comments and the feedback. But having your own feedback on, I'm getting better each and every day. I'm doing the best I can each and every day. And truly, are you doing your best? You know, because you can chill and not do anything. Are you truly going after that each and every day? And who is to determine or measure that besides you, you know? And I can just see that for myself in my life. Even just a personal example of, I have been trying to get more comfortable with my singleness. And I thought I was comfortable with it, but I didn't realize all of these really not healthy things that I was doing with my singleness. And I was in a situation recently where I saw the manifestation of my healing. And all this time, I thought I was just kind of circling the block and not doing anything, but it was just a slow process of healing. And so when I got tested, I'm like, oh my gosh, I healed. Oh, wow. Like, that's cool. Also, again, it's just trusting the process and trusting that it's happening. That's why I have a lot of plants, actually, because I look and I'm like, whoa, my plant is blooming. And then you see it every day, but you don't recognize that it's blooming until you look back and see, wow, it's bigger than when I bought it.
Man, and the plant thing too as well. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Like, we just recently, you know, bought a bunch of plants in to kind of get that kind of spring feeling going. And, you know, it always feels good to have living things around you, you know. Like, my wife and I always wanted a bunch of kids, and we're blessed with one, and we're lucky to have one. And then we fill our lives with other living beings. And, you know, we're both teachers, so we have a bunch of students who are basically our kids. And so it just feels so good, you know, when it could be a day where it's like unseasonably hot, or it's like, you know, freezing cold, pouring down rain or whatever. And you go out there and you see some plant that you put in the backyard or whatever, and it's just doing its best work, no matter what the surroundings are, you know. And, and you could take from that, you know, what you can. And I love how you have, in the raw mission, you talk about that, the positive self-efficacy, which seems to come about in different ways through your writings on the website, and then in speaking with you. And it's something that I'm, a huge proponent of, in terms of taming our own critical voice, right? How we criticize ourselves. How important is it to engage in positive self-efficacy?
This is so funny, because this was my devotional for today. And then when I went to yoga, she mentioned that today. And so
Oh my God.
And that's something that I still definitely struggle with. I think it's,
me too,
it's difficult. You know, I think psychology is a lot stronger than we think it is, but it's also a lot weaker than we think it is, you know? And so when you are 8, 7, 6, 5, 13, 14, 15 years old, and you heard that thing and it lodged into your body, it's really hard to erase that, you know, no matter. And it's like the power and influence and impact on that, on who said it. You know, 1,000 people could say that you look attractive, but if that one person who had a lot of power said that you were ugly, or said that you were a failure, said you really sucked at playing the violin, like, you would never touch that again. I remember Brene Brown talked about, I'm like so in love with Brene Brown. I just hope one day she hears me say this on all the podcasts I've been on and be like, this girl is always talking about me. And
I'm going to at Brene Brown on this episode. That's
please,
it.
Please. Cause like, she is the reason for my season. Like, oh, she's done so much for me. But she was talking in one of her books or one of her talks, about someone who went to, I can't remember, they went to a very high-end school. I want to say Harvard, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Anyways, And he applied for, I think, the University of Houston. But the reason that he didn't go was because there's a question on there about drawing something. And he flashed all the way back to first grade where someone shamed him when he tried to draw something. And so he was just like, yeah, I'm just not going to go there. And just think, like, this super intelligent individual who's like very esteemed and established is terrified to draw because of something that happened in first grade. And we all have that story. And so while we always say, like, think positive thoughts, it's giving homage to how critical, how serious that impact is, you know, mm-hmm. when it happens, and how to heal from it, which is really hard. Like, and I honestly have not found the secret sauce. I think every day I just remind myself of truths. But you know, when that's in your body, it's in there, and figuring out how to get that out and believe in a new truth.
Mm. Yeah, it's such an amazing thing, like you said, that you know, the strength and the weakness of psychology, and especially, you know, identity. The self-identity side of psychology, how much of a thin line that is between strength and weakness. It really could be the thing that brings us out of trauma, or it could be something that worsens and deepens trauma. Fascinating, the power of the will of the human being and the human species. That is Raw Honey as a platform is there for people to find resources, with the hope of, becoming having more positive self-efficacy for themselves. And what else could we find on the Raw Honey platform?
Finding connection with other people, you know, and just a space to express, you know, a space to validate what they've been through, or just validate who they are, and to see that there are other people, you know, kind of see the demonstration of other people validating who they are and sharing their stories, and just hope, you know, that's really what I want to ignite, is hope that our lives don't have to be scary or all these other things, but we can have hope to be who we want to be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, because everybody knows this past year plus, and beyond that, but especially the last year plus, it's been like a year of nonstop doom scrolling, you know, like, how am I going to bury myself in the negativity of my own and others' existence today, you know, like, what is the new low today? And it's platforms like Raw Honey that give us some, you know, give us a staircase out of that. And right. I think that's a fabulous thing that you've done with the platform. So thank you for that, Doctor. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for giving so much attention to it, and just for everything that you're doing as well. Like, this field is so important, and it just excites me to know that there's someone else out there who appreciates it in the same way.
Yeah. Yes. The artivism movement is growing strong, and it grew from the depths of quarantine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people took it up because, you know, I think we were all ignited. People who were maybe asleep at the wheel with issues of the Black community and with police violence and, you know, capitalist white supremacist structure. And now there's literally no excuse for anybody. You know, the mirrors were put up. We were shown our true selves as privileged people in this country. And now it's up to those people with the privilege to use it against itself. So we could find other things on Raw Honey as well. I mean, it's such a seasoned platform. You have the Nectar podcast, mm-hmm. right? And we were talking about that a little bit beforehand. What do you want to accomplish? What is your purpose for the Nectar podcast?
Really to just share stories on the process, you know, like nectar is, you know, what you get from the flower to bring into the honeycomb to turn into honey. And I think we don't give attention to that part. We're all like ready for the honey. We're like, yeah. I can't wait to get that new car. I can't wait to get that house. But like, how dope would it be to focus on like everything in between there? Just even, like literally I'm just about to close on a house, and so like thinking yeah. of the steps in between to even get to the getting to yeah. you know, like thinking yeah. about all. And so I think when we focus more on the nectar and celebrate the nectar, like I think the honey becomes even sweeter, but I think there's less obligation on the honey. Like it comes to a point where you're like, getting the end result thing wasn't even the best part. The best part was the whole journey.
Yeah.
I find myself saying that so often lately of like, you know what? Like the end wasn't even the best thing. Like the best thing was mm-hmm. this fun thing and learning this here and learning that there.
Yeah. The extended metaphor is just perfect. I mean, it really, the messaging with the extended metaphor and the products on available on the platform really do provide that kind of that hub for self-efficacy, the growth of oneself. And so there's a tab on the website, the Nectar Podcast, check that out. There's episodes embedded right there on the website. So that's amazing. So go ahead and take a listen to some of those original stories. And then also we have Mahogany, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Mahogany or Mahog-honey? Because you got that. Okay, cool.
Yes, yeah. Got the little slick yeah. play on words.
I love it.
So that kind of attributes, again, it just all kind of ties together because I like focusing on holistic wellness. But I started making my own stuff, like my own hair products and my own body products at home, just to help address some of the trauma that I went through and to help mm-hmm. complement just the things that I was doing physically to heal and to restore my body. And so when I shared it with other people, like my friends, they're like, why are you not sharing this with other people? You know? And so I wanted to use this as a complimentary thing, of like, okay, when you're in this journey of healing, literally your body is going to do some weird stuff. You know, yeah. your hair is going to change, your skin is going to change, just so many things are going to change. And so I just wanted to supply things that would help, people with their somatic and physiological journey while liberating their minds and their spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's it goes to that holistic nature of what you want Raw Honey to be. And it really kind of ties together the connection that our body, the organism of our body, that it has, that, you know, the toll that all these traumas take on the body, and traumas, intergenerational ones that people didn't necessarily have a part in, yet are still suffering from. And so I love the fact that it also, it dovetails with the self-efficacy work and the growth, the self-help side of this too, is about, you know, you deserve it. You deserve to be pampered. You deserve to think of yourself positively, like you deserve a better life. You are good enough. You know, I think that's such an amazing and compelling message, and people just need to hear it. And they could read it if they go to rawhoneypf.com. And so the overall platform is a place for people to go to better themselves in a non-judgmental way. So so thank you for building this, and I'll definitely do whatever I can to get the platform out there and get this episode out there so that we could lift up the voices of an amazing person, Dr. April B. Thank you for joining us on Artivism Now today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. This was a great conversation. And I appreciate everything you're doing and lifting up this movement. So important.
Absolutely. Let's do it. And let's do it again next time you have something that you want to talk about. I'd love to have you back.
And likewise, for sure.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Special thanks to Dr. April B. for joining us today on Artivism Now. Check out the Raw Honey platform at www.rawhoneypf.com. Also on Instagram at rawhoney_pf. And make sure and check out Dr.AprilB on Instagram, as well as her photography work at Bear Butte Photography on Instagram. And remember, artists out there, keep it lit. Let it flow. Let it mean something. And goodbye.